Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
News just breaking in the last couple of minutes. Aer Lingus has said it will cancel between 10 and 20% of its flights over the first 5 days of the planned industrial action by pilots next week. That's expected to affect, I think, between 30 to 40,000 passengers. And we will have more detail for you on that just after 5:30. Right now, though, the Oireachtas debate on the EU Migrant and Asylum Pact has now been extended and the Dáil vote has been put back to next week. Chief Whip Hildegard Nocton said it was because more TDs wanted to speak in the debate, but there was opposition. Disagreement to the move. The Shannon voted yesterday by 30 to 11 in favour of the pact. Well, for more on all of this, we're joined by Fianna Fáil TD James Lawless and by Padraig Tobin, AIMTHU leader. And you're very welcome to the programme, both of you this evening. James, just to clear that up, why was the vote put back? Because opposition, I know, were claiming the government were afraid it might have been lost.
Yeah, so I was in the chamber last night for the debate. I actually spoke towards the end of the debate, my own contribution, and then I contributed to the, I suppose, procedural wrangle about what was happening with the vote as well. And I've been in the Dáil now for 8 years, coming towards the end of my second term, and I've never before seen a situation where members looked for more time, and then when the government, whatever government, there's been a few governments in that 8 years, offered more time, they said, no, we don't want it anymore. We're going to vote against it. To my mind, it was absolutely bizarre. And actually, the Rural Independent Group, which made a lot of noise last night, had a motion down about a month ago saying that there wasn't enough time being given to it. They also complained when the Justice Committee that I chair presided over the... We considered the pact and we had experts and witnesses in before us a few weeks ago. We gave it 2 3-hour slots. And we didn't run out of time. We ran out of speakers. By the end of the second 3-hour slot, after 6 hours... there was literally nobody else in the room putting their hand up to speak. So we sort of exhausted the possibilities. And in the Dáil last night, following 2 days of debate, Hildegard Nocton, the Governor Whip, said, look, there are more people looking to speak. We're going to extend this into another week so that everyone gets a chance. And to my mind, it was quite perverse.
So that's why that happened.
Saying, all right. No, we don't want more time after all.
I managed to watch quite a bit of the debates and read some of the speeches from the various different people who contributed over Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, I didn't see it all, but one question that kept coming up again and again that I saw was why the government has chosen to opt into all of the aspects of this migration pact when we could have, they say, chosen to opt into the aspects that everyone agreed on. I haven't really seen an answer to that.
Well, I suppose what I would find fascinating there is what are the aspects that everybody agrees on? Because I asked that question, and I don't know if you saw or read my remarks from last night, but one of the questions I put, particularly actually to Sinn Féin, that particular point I put, was they're seem to be dancing around this issue of sovereignty. And it strikes me that saying, oh, we're losing sovereignty, which, first of all, I don't agree with, but even if the, you know, it seems to be a way to dodge the issue. And I put it to them, well, of the 7 chapters in the pact, which ones do you agree with? Which ones do you not agree with? And actually, I've heard very few groups in the Dáil of any hue, particularly from the opposition benches who are all making noise on this, actually stand up and say, well, I approve of number 3, I don't agree with number 4, I'm 50-50
well, no,
number 5,
true,
or whatever.
That's not true, James. Sinn Féin, and we'll go to Padraig Tobin in a second, but Sinn Féin's been quite clear which aspects they agree on. I mean, they mentioned the Eurodac regulation, they say they agree on that. Sorry, there are others, but I wasn't speaking to Sinn Féin today, but I know they've pointed out quite specifically the ones that they agree on. And I'll go to Padraig Tobin on that point. Padraig Tobin, are there aspects here that you would have agreed on if it was put in various, if the Dáil got a chance to vote on each motion individually?
Yes, first of all, this is a massive handover of sovereignty. So basically, the decisions on who comes to this country, who gets to stay in this country, are being handed over to Brussels, and they will be decided in the future by qualified majority voting, which basically means that we won't be able to stop changes in that law in future, and we must just have to adhere. Even if the country is 100% against a decision by the European Union, we have to adhere to that. So it's a complete handover of sovereignty on that issue to the
European
Union.
Now, I know Maria Walsh, during the EU election campaign, disagreed with that. She said, no, we would have an opt-out if there are big changes.
Yeah, again, you know, I remember when the Lisbon Treaty was actually being discussed and we were told that we would have an opt-out on this issue in the first place. But again, many people like myself said the government would never have the backbone to use any opt-out. And I'm not aware of any study of the migration pact which actually explicitly says that actually if you don't agree with the qualified majority vote of the European Union in future on this, you can actually just opt out from it. I haven't seen that whatsoever. And, you know, the idea that the government, or this government especially, with their, you know, best boy in the class in terms of the European Union attitudes, is going to opt out of any future decision is ridiculous. The difficulty I have with this is that the government doesn't know how much it's going to cost. I've asked the Taoiseach in relation to this, you know, if we have power ourselves, nobody knows what the future holds, but we can ameliorate, you know, the numbers coming to this country or the cost to this country by changing the laws ourselves. If we hand over that power to the European Union, we can't make any changes here, and that cost could significantly go up in the future. And I asked the Taoiseach, how much will it cost for the country to deal with this? And the Taoiseach admitted, shockingly, that he is politically committed to this, but he doesn't know how much it's cost. So that's, in
effect,
a blank check.
All right, let me put that to James Lawless. Do we have, James, an idea as to how much this will cost?
Well, I've read that there is a figure of 1.3 billion available as a resource to all EU states, including Ireland, to assist with the implementation. But just come back to
sorry,
the key point.
That's not the question. Sorry, just for a second. That's not the question. I know there's a 1.3 billion euro fund available to EU members who opt into this pact, but the question that Pather is raising is how much will this cost Ireland if we opt in and we decide, for example, not to accept people that we have to accept under the pact and we have to pay instead? How much will it cost?
Well, Pather has just said that the Taoiseach was unable to give him a specific figure in the Dáil Chamber, so I'm not the Taoiseach. I don't have access to the same resources and information the Taoiseach has.
So it is
I'm
a blank
going
check,
to be able
then.
To give one if the Taoiseach couldn't. But look, there's many, many visions that are debated in the Dáil and the Seanad every day of the week where you don't have a final figure. And look, let's be honest with this. This is a complex, difficult, challenging problem. Sorry, Pather, can I speak? You can come back in a moment, I'm sure. Which straddles multiple states. Ireland is not unique. And again, we're putting up this big bogeyman, Europe. Big bad Europe might do something awful that we may not agree with and want to divorce ourselves from. So, first of all, our European states and partners have the same challenges, if not a lot more acute, like Italy and Greece, who have huge migration issues on their shores, literally coming from the Mediterranean. We're actually at the tail end of it. We're only getting hit with this now, maybe 10 years after everybody else, largely because of geography. But the idea that we wouldn't have a common interest...
I don't know. Is it that, together. Though, James? Is it a big bad bogeyman? Or are people just
asking for details?
That should be available, like how much this will cost. Just Pather, I've just looked at my notes here from one second. I've just looked at my notes from what Helen McEntee was saying a couple of weeks ago in relation to this, and she said, just for our listeners, that this our fair share in terms of what we're signing up to under this pact would translate to either 458 relocations per year or just under 13 million euro by way of financial contribution. So that is the cost that the government has said.
But no, that's only an estimate, and my understanding is that that's the lower cost, lower end of this. We don't know how many people are going to come to Europe in the next number of years. So we have no idea how many people will need to be moved to different countries in terms of this. And the numbers that are going to be moved under the European Migration Pact are on top of the numbers we're already dealing with. And it is stunning to think that we have a government saying that that they don't know how much this is going to cost. Remember that
I mean, they have said how much it's going to cost at this point, based on the available information that we know. But what you're saying is that available information can change. But that does go back to the previous point, which is that the government is saying that if this changes substantially and Europe decides we have to change the amount each European member state is taking, that Ireland will have a chance at that point to opt out. That is what the government is saying.
Well, it's not visible within the text of the European Migration Treaty, and I have looked at it, I've read it, I have not seen that. The other point I want to say on this is it's really important, is that the government is saying that there's really good stuff here in terms of speeding up the processing of applicants in the country. Now, we know there's about 120 applicants going to be coming to Ireland on a daily basis, and the government can't get it together to process them currently in a period of a year, or in some cases 2 years, and in some cases even 3 years for the first initial application. And that doesn't include appeals, and it doesn't include judicial reviews.
Okay.
So how is the government going to put into place, what kind of resourcing are they going to put into place to be able to process an individual within 12 weeks in future, given the numbers that are coming into the country?
And let me put that to James as a final word. Unfortunately, we have to wrap it at this point. But James, I have seen that and heard that this will make everything much faster. I mean, this doesn't wave any magic wand to make things faster. That has to be resourced. And there's no indication really that we have the resources to speed things up to that extent, is there?
Yeah, sure. So just to quickly deal with a couple of issues there. So Pella's talking about what the bill might be to us, but actually, if we have a situation where migration grows, when Ireland suddenly becomes a real pincher point, we can get solidarity from other states. The whole idea of this pact, literally the idea behind the Solidarity Pact, is that states help each other. We're part of a grand European collective. And if we're in difficulty and we're struggling, we can put our hands up and say, actually, we're the ones that need help on this occasion.
But Britain is not in this as well. And 80% of people coming into this country are coming from Britain. So it's not going to affect the 80% of people coming into
the country. Okay, Pat, just let Jane speak very briefly, James, because I have to wrap.
I'm so having difficulty with returning migrants to the UK. That's why we need to be in this. If we're out of this, doing it alone, isolated, it's not going to work. Just in terms of resources, this will repeal the International Protection Act 2015. It's acknowledged that has been challenging and hasn't worked particularly well. The staff in the IPO office have doubled in the last couple of months. But this has actually taken that legislation, which is flawed, replacing it, upgrading it to a more modern, streamlined system, which should be consistent across Europe. Okay. I think that makes a lot of sense.
All right, James Lawless and Pather Jobin, thank you both for joining us.